Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, and welcome to the Purpose Kingdom Network. I'm your host, Evangelist Cheryl Johnson, president and founder of the Women in the Word Ministries, and this is In Search of the Truth. And I'm coming to you live from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the United States of America. You can also listen to this program on your computer by typing in www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Or you can listen by phone by dialing in 319-527-6091. That number again is 319-527-6091. The Bible declares in Psalm 119, verse 160, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of your judgments endure forever." John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And finally, John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If you're looking for freedom tonight, if you're looking for deliverance tonight, if you're looking for a word of encouragement tonight, you'll find it in the Word of God. Let's pray. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you for your goodness and for your grace, for your loving kindness. It is better than life. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you're yet doing in the lives of your people. And Lord, tonight you've given us an opportunity, Lord, to hear from you. So, Lord, I'm asking that you would hide me behind the cross, that they might not hear me, but they would hear you speaking to their spirits, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let me only say the things that you would have me to say that will encourage your people. Let the word fall fresh in their spirits and in their lives, Lord, that it might bring forth fruit, much fruit, and that fruit, in fact, would remain in the name of Jesus. You get your glory, Lord. You get your honor, Lord, and you get your praise in the name of Jesus. I do pray with much thanksgiving. Amen and glory to your name. The topic tonight is patience. The topic tonight is patience. So I want you to come with me to the Word of God, and we'll be looking at and learning from Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. That's Luke chapter 13, and I'll be reading verses 10 through 17. And there you'll find these words, and I'm reading from the King James Version. It says, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loose from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him." The Word of God for the people of God to glorify God. And if I was choosing a topic this evening, or a theme this evening, or a title this evening, it would be, What Do You Do While You Are Waiting? What do you do while you are waiting? There was a song that we used to sing in our church at times, I Don't Mind Waiting. And just a few verses says, I don't mind waiting, I don't mind waiting, I don't mind waiting on the Lord. And then it continues, I really don't mind waiting on the Lord. But the truth of the matter is that we do mind waiting because we have become, our technology and our culture has caused us to become impatient when things don't happen immediately. We want things to happen instantly or at least according to our schedule. We don't like interruptions. We want formality when it comes down to the things that we want done. And again, we want it when we say that we want it. So when the minutes turn into hours and the hours turn into days and the days turn into weeks and the weeks turn into years, we get frustrated. We get discouraged, we get disgruntled, and we get enchanted. As a matter of fact, we think that when God doesn't move on our timetable or schedule, we think God isn't listening, or worse yet, we think that God doesn't care. So we throw in a towel, we give up, we move on. And how many of you know that this couldn't be further from the truth about God? He is always listening. He always cares, and he's working things out for your good and his glory. You see, this thing called waiting, it requires patience. It requires strength. It requires trust. And those are the qualities that God is trying to build and instill in us. And guess what? Guess what? He uses the waiting period to develop those qualities in us. Psalm 27, verse 14 says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. As a matter of fact, he says, don't give up, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Notice the psalmist writes the word wait on the Lord twice because he's emphatic about telling us we need to be patient and not to give up. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So here's the question. What do you do while you are waiting? Well, when I look into Luke chapter 13 and those verses 10 through 17, which we're going to look at line by line and precept by precept tonight, I find three things that the Lord wants us to do while we are waiting. Three things. And the first thing that he wants us to do is to be in place. Let's look at the text. Verse 10 says, and he, that's Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Verse 11 says, and behold, there was a woman with a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed over together and could not in no wise lift herself up. Don't miss it. You have to be in place. You have to be where God is working. This woman was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And I can tell that she has been consistent about coming because the Bible lets us know that she has had this infirmity or this condition or this dilemma or this physical disability for 18 years. So we can make the assumption that she was coming faithfully to the house of God for at least 18 years in spite of, here it is, in spite of her condition and in spite of her condition not changing. How many of us are willing? Oh, this is a good one. How many of us are willing to continue to be in the place where God is working when our dilemma, our situation, our circumstance, our dilemma, whatever it is, our trial, our tribulation has not ceased? As a matter of fact, it might have intensified because then we have a tendency when it doesn't go away, when it doesn't cease, or when it doesn't subside, we have a tendency to draw away from the place where God is working. And I know that to be true. Amen. You have a tendency not to go to the place where God is working, not to be in the place where God is working. But yet this woman, the Bible tells us, that Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day, and in the crowd, in the audience, in the pews, if you will, was this woman who had this spirit of infirmity, the Bible calls it, and it has been going on in her life for 18 years, and it caused her to be bent over. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And yet, she found herself where? In the house of God. She was in the place where God is working. And again, why is it when our situation seems not to change, that's not where we want to be? We stop going to church. Well, these verses tell us that we need to be in the place where God is working. This woman had made up her mind that although she could only look down physically, spiritually, she was able to keep looking up because she knew where her help was coming from. Psalm 121, verse 1, I will lift mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. Amen. And so I admire the fact that she consistently came to the place where God was working. Amen. So, saints and friends of God, what am I saying? What do you do in the waiting? You come to the place where God is working. Be in place. See, she didn't know the day, and she didn't know the hour in which her healing would take place, but she knew the one who could heal her, and she knew the one who could restore her and make her whole. And here it is. And she knew where she felt his presence the most. And where was that? That was in the house of the Lord. Be in place. What do you do while you're working? First thing, be in place. The second thing that I notice here in these scripture, and I don't want you to miss it, is that not only do you need to be in place, but you must persevere. You must persevere. Again, in verse 11. It says that this woman had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years, caused her to be bent over, and she could not lift herself up. You have to consistently believe that Jesus knows your condition, and he knows what you stand in need of. You have to persevere when you don't see the situation change. You have to constantly remind yourself so that you can persevere, that Jesus knows all about your struggle. He'll answer you. But how about this? In his own timing. And you got to, here it is, persevere. You have to endure because he does know your condition. He does know what you stand in need of. Verse 11 said that she had the spirit of sickness. Right, the spirit of infirmity, but how we know that Jesus knows exactly what it was? Because if we skip down to verse 16 just for a quick second, it's going to tell us in verse 16 that the spirit of infirmity was inflicted by Satan himself. Look at it. Verse 16 said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from her bond on the Sabbath day? So Jesus knew exactly what was causing her dilemma. And we have to remember, though we are not privy to what puts us in a place of needing healing, say, for instance, or a place of tribulation or of trial or of distress or whatever the case may be. We might not know what's behind that, but we know that we're in that. But we have to believe that Jesus knows all about it. And just like he identified this spirit of sickness, this spirit of infirmity that she had experienced for 18 years, he identified it as Satan bounding her up for 18 years. So he also not only knew what the cause was, but listen, Jesus knows what you need. He knows the remedy to it, and he knows to get you to the point where you're going to be able to accept what he's going to do in your life. Somebody needs to hear that today. Jesus knows all about it. He knows your condition, and he knows what you stand in need of. And here it is. And we're going to find it. Oh, my God, this is so good. We're going to find it in these verses. He knows what her condition was. It was brought on by Satan. You see that? For 18 years, day in, day out, 18 years, coming to the place where God is working, no change in her condition. But Jesus knew what she needed. She needed to be free, here it is, mentally and then physically. Oh, where'd you get that from? I am so glad that you asked me that question. Because I'm looking at the order in which Jesus freed her from her dilemma. Please don't miss it. Verse 12, and when Jesus saw her, see, he knew all about her, saw her in the crowd, saw her dilemma, but also saw and felt that he needed her most. But look at verse 12. He saw her, then he called her to him, and here it is, don't miss it, here it is, and said to her, woman, thou art loose from thy infirmity. Yeah, you missed it. What he did was he spoke, here it is, he spoke deliverance to her before he even laid a hand on her. Why is that? Because he knew that she needed to be freed up mentally before she could be freed up physically so that she would be able to accept her healing by faith. So he spoke deliverance into her spirit first. Why? Because, again, I'll say it, because Satan had been racking her and raking her over the coals for 18 years and trying to convince her that God didn't hear you. You know, year one goes by and you're still bent over and it doesn't look like God is moving. Year five goes by and you're still bent over and it doesn't look like God is moving. And Satan has not finished, has not stopped talking to you day in and day out. Satan has not finished with you. He began to tell you, to try to get you to doubt God. Oh, amen. I know what I'm talking about here. He tries to get you to doubt God. He tries to say, see, God's not listening. If he was listening, you would be all right by now. Yeah, you're going through these challenges in your body. You got sickness in your body, and you're going to the doctor on the regular, amen, and they can't diagnose it, or they're trying to treat the symptoms but not finding the root cause, and you're going through all of this, and years are passing now, months are becoming years, and they still don't really understand what is going on. Oh, I know what I'm talking about here. I know exactly what I'm talking about here. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, because I'm going through something even right now, and the doctors can't tell me what is going on in my body. Nevertheless, I hear Satan talking to me sometime, talking about, see, God, you said God's going to heal you, and you still going to the doctors, and you still, yeah, somebody can feel what I'm saying even right now. And Jesus knows all about my struggle, and he will guide me when the day is through. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. And I have to constantly remind myself, just like this woman in the text here, had to constantly remind herself that Jesus knows all about your condition, and he knows what you stand in need of. And here it is, he had to speak her deliverance into her spirit first before he physically touched her. Yes, her paralysis was real, and her symptoms were real. But how about this? Jesus is real, too. Jesus is a healer. Jesus is a restorer. Jesus is the one that can make all things good and all things right, and he doesn't make a mistake. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And his timing, Are you ready? It is right on time. There are things that he needs to pull together, that he needs to get together, that he needs to line up. And you might not be aware of the things that he's doing, that he's putting in place before he decides to physically give you deliverance. Amen. And all things are not going to appear in front of you so you can follow the path that he's taken, because that's not how God works. Amen. He does a lot of things behind the scene to prepare us, here it is, to prepare you to receive your healing. And in the interim, what he's doing is he's building up your faith in him, your faith in his goodness, your faith in his grace, your faith in his word, to believe that what he has promised in his word is for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And so there has to be some perseverance on your part, some endurance on your part, hallelujah, while you're waiting for God to work things out for your good and for his glory. And so I see in verse 12 where he spoke to her deliverance, he spoke her deliverance first before he laid hands on her, amen, before he performed the healing. Again, what am I saying? Sometimes your mind and your spirit needs to be free so that you can accept your physical healing, your physical deliverance. If you would just persevere and don't give up hope, don't throw in the towel, adversary is saying, don't look at what's actually going on. Walk by faith, here it is, and not by sight, because you know what? Your eyes will cause you to believe in something that's not really there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it will convince you to act according to what it is that you see. So here Jesus did this. He spoke deliverance to you first. Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity, verse 12 says. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And guess what? Jehovah Rapha is about ready to show up. And there is nothing too hard for him, regardless of the amount of time that it takes or the amount of time that has passed since her prayer went up. And that's for somebody on this line today. No matter the amount of time that has passed or the amount of time that it will take to free you from your deliverance, whether it's healing, whether it's a situation, a circumstance, a trial, or a tribulation, he heard your prayer. Hallelujah. And the word of God says, and while we are yet seeking him or speaking, he will answer. Amen. He will deliver. He will pronounce healing, and he will pronounce restoration. How I know? Come on, look at verse 13. After he spoke deliverance into her mind and spirit, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity, he speaks it. Then he backs it up. Verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Do you see that? It says immediately when he laid his hands on her, it says immediately she was made straight. She straightened right up. And she began to glorify God for her deliverance. He spoke deliverance, and then he touched her, and she began, and she was delivered, and she was restored whole. So what do you do while you're waiting? Well, the first thing is you need to be in place where God is in fact working. That's number one. Number two is you have to persevere. You have to endure. You have to hold on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you got to hold out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. But here it is. When you're in place and when you're persevering, the third thing you have to do is you have to make preparations to give God praise. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you where I got that from. Look at verses 14 through 17, because you're going to find out that you have to beforehand, start preparing to give God praise for he's about for what he's about to do in your life. In your waiting period, you have to think about how you will testify of his healing beforehand and praise him for his goodness and praise him for his grace before it even happens. And this is important. Why? It's important because after you receive the healing, there are going to be some haters that are going to refute or downplay the miracle. See, so here it is. If you start contemplating how you're going to praise him now, right, before the healing actually takes place, before the deliverance actually takes place, amen, and you start giving God his props now, amen, then you start increasing your trust and it starts increasing your faith in his goodness and in his grace. Amen. Because you're doing this before something actually materializes. You're calling those things that are not as though they already are. Why? Because the haters, when the healing actually comes into place, the haters will be there to make you think that it didn't happen or it wouldn't happen or it shouldn't have happened. How do I know? Look again. Verse 13, she gets healed. She glorifies God. But right away, verse 14, look at it. Verse 14, right away, it says, the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Indignation, that's anger, right? Why was he angry? Because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. That's the only thing that got under his skin. A miracle had just taken place to a woman that the crowd knew had been sick for 18 years with this infirmity, and her day of deliverance should have been a day of rejoicing from the top down, from the pulpit to the door, from the ceiling to the floor. That's right. But instead, the Bible says that the ruler of the synagogue was angry. And what was he angry about? Because Jesus didn't do it on any other day but the Sabbath day. Here it is, because Jesus has healed on the Sabbath day. And so he now turns around and he speaks to the people. Now, wait a minute. The woman is glorifying God. The people are in on her glorification of God. They're praising God too. But here this person stands up and says, hold the phone. Hold the phone. Wait a minute. This ain't right. He's healed on this. Don't you see it? He healed on the Sabbath day. That was his whole thing. And then he says, look, there are 6 days in the week. And in those 6 days, healing can take place. But why does it have to be on the Sabbath? That's what verse 14 says. But why does it have to be on the Sabbath day? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's right there. It's right there, verse 14. So haters show up when the healing takes place, all ready to be able to praise God above the haters. And get that engine rolling early, because those haters are going to show up just like they did in this account right here. The ruler of the synagogue said, Jesus, you know what? This ain't right. You healed this person on the Sabbath day. So he began to refute the healing, and the only thing he could say, it was done on the wrong day. If you think about that, that's so lame. That's so lame. And Jesus says, you know what? That's lame. How do I know? Look at verse 15. The Lord Jesus then answered him and said, you know what? You're a hypocrite. Do not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass or donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering. You do other things on the Sabbath day, but yet I heal this woman and I'm wrong. This is what Jesus is saying, right? Look further. And ought not, look at this. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, that's relationship, that shows relationship right there, being a child of God, being a believer, being one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, being the one who worships and glorifies God, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for these 18 years, shouldn't she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Why should she have to wait one more day longer than she ought to wait? Amen. just because you say it shouldn't be done on the Sabbath day. Haters, because she got delivered from her infirmity that bound her up for 18 years, and the only thing they could find wrong or thought they found wrong was the fact that Jesus did this miraculous miracle on the Sabbath day. Mad because it wasn't done the way they wanted it to be done or when they wanted it to be done, and they feel that you shouldn't be so excited because it took so long. Oh, yeah. Whatever the case, you have to be prepared to praise God beforehand. So here it is. Well, how do you do it? I hear you talking to me. But how do you do that, Sister Cheryl? Because it's 18 years. You fill in the blank. It's been this long since I've been presented with this challenge in my health. It's been this long since I've been in this dilemma. It's been so long since I've been in this trial, this tribulation. And I'm in the place where God is working. And I have persevered. How do I prepare myself to praise God beforehand? What do I do? Well, the Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, the B portion, it says that, you know, you got to start calling those things that are not as though they already are. Here's how you rev your engines to start praising God before anything happens. You start calling that thing that is not as though it already is. My challenge is my sight and my left eye. I believe God's going to restore me with full 20/20 vision and right peripheral vision and low eye pressure in my left eye because he told me he's going to do it. Amen. He hasn't done it. It's been over a year, and I'm legally blind in my left eye. But I believe God. And so I start calling those things are not as though they already are. I say, God, I know that you are a restorer. I know that you are a healer. I know that you are a deliverer. I know that you will heal me because your word will not return unto your void, but it will accomplish what you have sent it out to do. I know that I'm healed by your stripes. I know that I'm healed by the wound in your side. And I know, being a child of God, that you will send healing and you will send a cure and that you would send abundant peace and you would send your word. And because your word does not return unto your void and it will accomplish what it sends, you send it out to do, and you'll give me peace that passes all understanding as long as I keep my heart and my mind focused on you, that you will be Jehovah Rapha all by yourself, the Lord God that heals all manners of sickness and diseases, and that you would send a cure. That means it will go away. In other words, you will take sickness out of the midst. That's how you rev your engines to give God praise when he hasn't even done the healing yet, when he hasn't even done the deliverance yet, so that when you do get it, then you're in full power to praise him now, because the haters are going to try to refute and pull down and get you to negate or to doubt what God has done, or at least to downplay it, because that's what they tried to do right here. But Jesus says, shouldn't she be loosed? Regardless of what day it happens to be. So therefore, by faith, you start calling things that are not as though they already are. In other words, you claim your healing before the healing takes place. In the waiting period, listen, in the waiting period, give God praise and prepare to give him even greater praise while you are in the waiting period. Why? Because we serve a progressive God. That's a God who is always moving, even when we think he is not. He's preparing the way for us to receive our healing, for us to receive our deliverance, for us to receive from him what he has purposed and planned in our lives. That's what he's doing. He's a progressive God. And he's working things out for our good and for his glory. So here it is. Don't wait till the battle is over. You need to shout right now and know that you can trust him in the waiting, and know that he will strengthen you while you wait. And here it is. And in the waiting period, be patient, because he's a prayer answering God. The word of God tells me, Isaiah 65:24, it says, and it shall come to pass, before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Hear that promise from the Lord? So what do you do while you're waiting? Well, you got to make sure that you're in the place where God is working, in the place where you can feel the presence of God, in the place, because you don't want to be out of place. You want to be in the place, amen, regardless of what's going on, regardless of how long it's been going on, you want to be in the place where God is, in fact, moving, just like this lady was, just like this woman was, amen. And then the next thing you want to do is you must persevere. You're in place. Now you must persevere. You got to endure because you have to believe that Jesus knows your condition and that he knows what you stand in need of. He knows what's causing the paralysis. He knows the root of the problem, the dilemma, the situation, the circumstance, amen, the trial, the tribulation. He knows that. And he knows what he needs to do to get you to the point where you will be able to receive your deliverance or receive your healing before you actually receive it. So he prepares the way, just like he did for this woman. He spoke deliverance before he laid his hands on her. And then he laid his hands on her, and the Bible says immediately, yeah, our God is a healer and a restorer. Immediately, the Bible says, she became straight up. Oh, and then she started shouting all over the place. And then thirdly, I believe that she made preparations to give God praise before her healing had even take place. For she went right into praise mode. Come on, read that. That just so excites me so much. Verse 13. She was made straight and glorified God. She started shouting right away. So it wasn't like she had to drum up a praise. It's like she had been preparing to give God this praise all along. It's been bubbling up inside. And I believe that during her waiting period, she was calling things that were not as though they already were. That she was already saying, holding God to his word. Your word said, God, that you would heal me. Your word said you would deliver me. Your word said you can heal all manners of sickness and diseases. Your word said that you would send healing and a cure. Your word said, by your stripes, I am healed. Yeah. That's what I see in these verses, and that is for you, and that is for me, and that's for anybody that's in the middle of something, and you think you've been there a long time. You've been waiting on a blessing, and it seems it won't come. Ah, but the devil is a liar. Mm-hmm. And God's word is true. God is not through blessing you. He's going to bless you. He's going to heal you. He's going to deliver you. But you got to do certain things while you're waiting, in the waiting period. Listen to this. I hear the word of God say this. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So be where God is working. Persevere. Make preparations to give God praise, to give God glory, to give God worship. Because when he delivers you, when he heals you, you ought to shout all over that place. But how about this? Even before he does it, you need to claim it. Call those things and start praising God for what he's about to do in your life. That's what you do while you are waiting. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for giving us an example of what to do while we are waiting for you to move on our behalf. Forgive us, Lord, for our impatience and for trying to direct you on how we should be healed, on how we should be delivered, on how we should be set free. But instead, Lord, build us up in the patience department and give us strength and allow us to trust your goodness and your grace even more as you're preparing the way to deliver us. And Lord, we're going to be in place where you are working. And Lord, we're going to persevere, Lord, and we're going to prepare ourselves to give you praise before you actually deliver us, Lord. And then when you do deliver us, and then when you do heal us, Lord, we're going to shout like never before. They're not going to be able to sit us down as we tell others about your goodness, and as we tell others about your grace, in the name of Jesus, I do pray with much thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, here it is. You have heard what the Lord God can do in your life. And he can do that and more. But more importantly, he wants your soul. He wants you. Amen. And I found out something. You can't do without God. You can't do without God. And so for those of you who are under the sound of my voice that don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about, that don't know this Jesus that heals, delivers, and sets free, that don't know who he is, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get to know him today, because it is important that you do. Because man's condition is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that, man has a destination. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life only through Christ Jesus. So God has made a provision for us. God has commanded his love towards us that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God has given you the invitation today. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So today, saints and friends of the Most High God, and those of you that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, here it is. There's a decision that you got to make. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You need Jesus. Why do you need him? Because you have a past. But he can. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He can walk into those places of sin and failure and wipe that slate clean and give you a new beginning. You need Jesus because you need a friend. Jesus knows the worst about you, yet he believes the best is in you. Why? Because he sees you not as you are, but as you will be when he gets through with you. What a friend we have in Jesus. And you need Jesus because he holds the future. Who else are you going to trust? In his hands you are safe. In his hands you are secure today, tomorrow, and for the eternity. His word said, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans for good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And in those days when you pray, he said, I will in fact listen. So if you want to begin a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ today, then I invite you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe you died for me. I believe that your blood paid for my sins and provides me with the gift of eternal life. By faith, I receive that gift. And I acknowledge you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, if you have confessed Jesus as your Savior through that prayer, and you believe what you prayed in your heart, the Bible says you are saved. And I say, welcome to the family of God. And today begins your new life in Christ. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, in order to live this life more abundantly, you'll need to seek out and connect and join a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, because you want to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to learn all about the many promises that God has for you in his word. Amen? Amen. Now I need for you to listen further, because Pastor Toy is going to come and give you some important announcements that you want to hear. Pastor Toy?
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We just bless and praise God for the word that has gone forth this evening. Hallelujah, God, what are you doing in your waiting? Hallelujah. I just bless God for that word, excuse me, that has gone out this evening. For I know I needed to hear that particular word. And if I know if I needed to hear it, somebody out there also needed to hear it. We also bless and thank God by faith for that soul who we believe gave their life to Christ, and for that soul that we believe that came back into right relationship this evening. We encourage you to find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But until then, bless God. That is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here just for you. Please join us Sunday evening. Please join us Sunday evening for Iron Sharpens Iron. We will be broadcasting at 8 p.m. Iron Sharpens Iron with the host, Evangelist Mary Scott. Sunday evening right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Also, we invite you to follow us via any of our social media pages. We're on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. You can also follow us on our webpage, which is www.pknradio.com. Again, that is www.pknradio.com, where you can reach out to each and every one of the individual hosts of the different ministries here at Purpose Kingdom Network, as well as listen to gospel music 24 hours a day. We bless and thank God for each and every one of you who listened in. Evangelist Cyril, a wonderful, wonderful word this evening. We bless God for him using you and allowing his Holy Ghost to flow through you. Your ministry is back in your hands.
Amen. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Amen. 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 So here it is again. What do you do while you are waiting? This is a lesson in patience, but what do you do? And again, like I had said, you got to be in place. You have to be where God is working. God is always moving on our behalf, even when we think that he's not. But our responsibility is be in the place where God is working, just like that woman did. And although her dilemma lasted 18 years, yours might not last that long. Or how about this? It might last longer, but the bottom line is that God is still God, and God is still sovereign, and God knows what he's doing, and he just wants you to have faith, to trust his goodness, and to trust his mercy, and to trust his grace. And he says this, be in place where I'm working, and watch what I do. I'll show up. That's what you do while you're waiting. And then you need to persevere, endure some things, wait some things out. Because God knows what he's doing. He knows you. He calls you by name. He hasn't forgotten where you are. He is always listening. He's preparing the way for you. He knows what you stand in need of. While you are yet calling, he's going to answer. And he knows what you stand in need of. And he knows exactly the root cause of your condition, of your dilemma, of your healing, of your health issue, or whatever it happens to be. He knows, and he's working things out for, here it is, your good and his glory, but you have to persevere. Amen. And then finally, what you do while you're waiting, after you're in place and after you persevere, you have to prepare to give God praise in advance. You got to start those praise engines running by calling things that are not as though they already are, because why? You walk by faith and not by sight. And the only way the faith muscle is going to grow is if you exercise your faith in God. You hold God to his word. See what he says, what the promises are for you, and they are for you. And so you began to praise. Why? Because you want to know that when you get your deliverance, when you get your healing, when you get what's in store for you, amen, you're going to have such a powerful praise. And here it is. You've been praising before, but when it comes to pass, you're really going to be praising now, and you're going to have to. Why? Because there's going to be some people that's going to try to refute what God has just done in your life. But you're not going to be hearing none of that because you're going to be so busy praising God, so busy giving him the glory, so busy giving him the honor that it's become infectious and other people are going to be praising him too. Amen. So what do you do while you're waiting? You be in place, you persevere, and you prepare to give God praise. Amen. And glory to his name. And I know these things, these words, they fell on good ground. That message just wasn't just for you, but it was for me too. Amen. Because I know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Until next time, let the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway. I'm Evangelist Cheryl Johnson, and you've been listening to In Search of the Truth. I bid you peace and God's blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. He set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.